TED Audio Collective.
We all have our vices. And for those of you who don't know me, mine is shopping. I love to shop. Nothing makes me happier than a beautiful, well-designed outfit that makes you go, dang. And I know exactly where I got this from. My parents. I've seen plenty of old photos of them from back in the day, dressed to the nines. Two-tone shoes, faux fur coats, bell-bottoms, dashikis. And even though this love for shopping runs in my blood, I know it isn't always the healthiest habit. Back in 2017, I read an article by the author Ann Patchett, who talked about how her year of no shopping changed her life. It got me thinking about the ways my own shopping habits, specifically with clothes, were affecting my life, and made me wonder whether I should try this year of no shopping thing. I went back and forth about whether it was even possible and convinced myself, I can do it, you can do it. So for all of 2018, I was on a shopping diet, and it was transformational. I had more time in my day because I wasn't sneaking around into stores to shop. I had more clarity because I wasn't distracting myself. I was also attuned to my emotions because I wasn't stuffing my face with clothes. There were deep things I had been avoiding that my little habit of shopping was helping me to suppress. I mean, they call it retail therapy for a reason. So the process of not shopping allowed difficult emotions to come to the surface and brought me face to face with some tough decisions I needed to make. The fulfillment I experienced from the peace this process gave me is something I could never have gotten from the latest cute jumpsuit. It had such an impact on me that I foolishly decided to do it again this year. I'm really grateful that the article I found continues to inspire such powerful experiences. And I think we could all benefit from discovering our vices and learning what's behind them. But we can't all wait to stumble upon the right article at the right time. So what are the practical ways to help us identify what we spend too much time and money on right now? I'm Madhu Bakinola. This is TED Business. Our speaker today is Robert Bell. He's an accountant who believes that your spending habits can reveal a lot about you. In this talk, he shares some tips for doing an audit of your finances and talks about how reviewing your expenses can reveal a lot of surprising, deeply personal truths. Then after the talk, I'll share some tips for another type of audit that can help bring more efficiency to our work lives. But first, a quick break.
Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until...
The Singapore presentation is at
3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
That's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is brought to you by Schwab. With Schwab investing themes, it's easy to invest in ideas you believe in, like artificial intelligence, big data, robotic revolution, and more. Choose from over 40 themes. Buy as is or customize the stocks in a theme to fit your goals. Learn more at schwab.com/thematic investing.
Blockchain, NFTs, AI. What does this mean for you and me?
I'm Sherelle Dorsey, host of the TED Tech Podcast, where we bring you the latest innovations and biggest ideas in tech. Tech is evolving fast and it affects our lives, from the metaverse to the watches on our wrists. You'll learn why people in AI make good business partners, about our future self-driving robo-taxi, what the next generation of Siri, Alexa, Google looks like, and a lot more. Find TED Tech on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
I'm an accountant with a numbers problem. I mean, I'm good with numbers and using them to report what's happening, but I'm also concerned with the full story behind those numbers, the part that gets lost in translation, the part that numbers can't quite tell, the story that goes deeper than mere strategies for saving and earning money. And without that story, I don't think I'm doing my job well. That's why I've dedicated my career to figuring out how my work as an accountant can tell stories about people. Stories that will ultimately help them improve their lives. Let me explain. It all started when someone told me, "You're obsessed with chocolate." And I was like, "What? No, I'm not." But then I wondered, could I be in denial about my own obsession? Was I actually spending a lot of money on chocolate but blind to it? Well, here was a chance for me to test this theory using my accountant lens. Off I went, tracking my spending on chocolate. And there it was, my love for chocolate. I was spending about $50 a month on chocolate, especially in months when I was overstressed and months when I was overjoyed. Analyzing my expenses helped me to understand that I had an emotional pattern where, when I'm struggling or celebrating, I binge on chocolate. I had struggled with my weight for a very long time, and I was convinced that my diet was not the problem. I was convinced that it was my lack of effort in exercise, and certainly not chocolate. Tracking my spending on chocolate, though, helped me realize that I was afraid of facing myself in the mirror, literally and figuratively, and that I lacked the courage to deal with the real problem. My diet. So I continued to exercise, but devoted less time to it, and instead shifted my focus and energy towards developing a more healthful diet. That year, I lost 50 pounds. Our relationship with money represents our relationship with life. The accounting of my own chocolate behavior told me the story of my own denial. I realized that perhaps I could also help my clients see what they were overlooking in their own lives and help them realize their own emotional patterns through their tracking and spending of their expenses. So I started to pay close attention to the story behind my clients' expenses that may be hidden to them. One of my clients, a critical care nurse, was convinced that her personal budget was reasonable and expenses justifiable. She had struggled to build up her savings, and I noticed that she had minimal records of her expenses. I suggested to her that her lack of savings could be due to more than just a gap in her financial knowledge, and offered to help her identify the problem. I encouraged her to start tracking and charting her expenses. After a few months, her financial records revealed that most of her spending was on expensive clothing and shoes. As we sat together, she was genuinely surprised to see just how much of her budget was going towards fashion. She remarked, "Whoa, these are impulse purchases, aren't they? I guess I didn't realize that." She analyzed further and realized that she was buying clothes in an attempt to impress and appear successful to her friends. And also, when her confidence was low, buying clothes temporarily boosted it. She told me that buying clothing was her attempt to find meaning in life and feeling valued. She sighed, and she set a goal for herself and her finances. 6 months later, she called me to tell me she had saved a bunch of money by reducing her spending on shopping and instead choosing to exercise when she felt the urge to shop. She is much happier around her friends. 3 years later, home ownership is on the horizon. Sometimes, though, charting expenses may not reveal something specific as a chocolate addiction or a shopping problem, but what it reveals can be just as valuable. A marketing strategist, an upcoming musician, needed help with her taxes. When I met with her, I immediately took note of the fear in her face as she looked through her records and expenses. I checked in with her, and she expressed to me that some things in her life didn't quite seem to work out, including her relationships. She was afraid of facing how much money she was about to lose after taxes. As we continued talking about her finances, she started to notice a connection between her fear of losing money and her fear of losing relationships. She went on to tell me that she was afraid of committing to anyone because she didn't want to get hurt. She expressed that she had not been close to anyone in over 7 years because she feared failure. And maybe she might have an avoidance strategy around both her money and her relationships. It's been 6 years since I first helped her chart her finances, and she's still consistently keeping up with her spreadsheet. As she confronted her personal accounting and grew her savings in advance of each tax season, she developed less fear of loss and grew more open to relationships. She tells me that she even has the courage to walk away from a relationship when it's not serving her. She recently told me, "My spreadsheet is basically a story of my life's progression, and I can see it through the numbers." I believe we can all do this type of audit of our own financial behavior, and that we can learn surprising things about ourselves through tracking and charting our expenses. Here's how. Number one, take a look at your bank statement for the last 6 months and categorize the expenses by type for a more holistic view. For example, your spending on shopping versus transport versus entertainment. Number two, when an expensive pattern emerges, see what that pattern says about yourself. Be curious and inquisitive. At first, it may not be that obvious, but by asking yourself what led you to make that choice in a given moment can provide some clues. Do you buy pizza every Wednesday night because that's when you're too tired to cook after a stressful weekly meeting? Number three, observe if there are any line items that you are shocked by in terms of value or volume and see what patterns emerge. For example, did you buy that new smartphone just before a major function or event so that your friends would notice? Or do you tell yourself you only take taxis late at night, but then realize that you're taking way more taxis every month than you thought? Are you working late more than you thought? There's so much that we can learn about ourselves if we take the time to look. And sometimes our money knows us better than we know ourselves. Tracking our finances can reveal what we are in denial of, our hidden biases, our fears, and what might be holding us back. Though it can be difficult and uncomfortable to take a good hard look at our financial behavior, it can reveal some deep emotional truths, some truths that can help us reevaluate our careers, our relationships, and our priorities. So give it a try. The payoff could be huge. Thank you.
Support for TED Business comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/TED Business. That's odoo.com/TED Business. Odoo, modern management made simple.
Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until
the Singapore presentation is at
3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
That's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva Presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
I loved when Robert said there's so much we can learn about ourselves if we take the time to look. It got me thinking about an area of our work lives that's also ripe for an audit. How we spend our time. Do you ever feel like you aren't getting as much done during the day as you like? Or maybe at the end of each workday, you don't have enough time for yourself? You'd like to go to the gym, cook a nice meal, read a book, but somehow the day is gone. This is when an audit can come in, where you track exactly what you're doing each day. You can track your time by the hour. I know this might sound stifling, but stick with me for a minute. Try setting your alarm for every hour, and when it goes off, take a few minutes to write down in detail what you did for the past hour. If you do this every day of the week, at the end of the week, you'll have a much fuller picture of how you actually spend your time. This way, the changes you need to make in your day will be right in front of you. Let's say your audit reveals that you're easily distracted by social media during the day. Who, me? Yes, you. I'm talking about you. You might try a time management technique like the Pomodoro method. This method encourages you to break your workday into 25-minute chunks with 5-minute breaks in between. The idea is that you have 25 minutes to make as much progress on a task as possible, which helps create a sense of urgency around what you're doing. And then you take a 5-minute break, which kind of feels like a reward. And you can spend that time scrolling through Twitter. So taking the time to figure out how you spend your time is just one additional way to make space for the things we care about most in life. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Transmitter Media with help from Jordan Bailey and fact-checked by Matthias Salas. Special thanks to Anna Phelan, Michelle Quint, Corey Hagem, and Colin Helms. I'm Madhu Pakinola. Talk to you again next week.